be ahead of the Islamic nation and also for the whole human community. Whatever is before us today, and no informed man can deny that, is the fact that today Islam has moved from the sidelines of social equations, and it has been placed in the focus of determining issues in the world, and it has a very prominent status in the world. And a fresh look, it gives a fresh look in for life and politics and governing issues and all social developments. And in today's world, which after the failure of communism and liberalism, which faced a deep void, intellectual void, this is a very meaningful and important phenomenon. This is the first impact that political and revolutionary events in North Africa and the Arab region has had in the world scale, and it promises much greater events in the future. Islamic awakening, which actually those who are the mouthpieces of arrogant powers, even they avoid even mentioning the name of Islamic awakening because they fear that. And this is a reality which today has actually you can find the signs of this reality all around the Islamic world. The most prominent, obvious sign of this is that the public opinion, especially among the younger generation, they are actually reviving the grandeur, and they are being informed of the grandeur of Islam, and they have been informed of the true nature of the hegemonic powers and the true and brutal face of arrogant powers in the world have become evident to them. They have more than 200 years they have been dominating the east of Islamic world under their domination, and under the guise of civilization and culture they have been actually brutalizing the nature and of the Islamic nations. The dimensions of this auspicious Islamic awakening is so vast and great. However, among the actually achievements of this Islamic awakening, we can mention that actually we saw the results in some African nations, and that can lead to better results in the future. Always, the materialization of divine promises is a sign, is a promising sign. It shows that it promises the materialization of greater promises. The story of the Quran, actually, God Almighty, what He offered His blessings to the mother of Prophet Moses. It is a sample of this tactic. In that difficult time, when God ordered the mother of Moses to put the cradle of the baby to the river, the materialization of the divine promise, of God's promise, and God actually gave Moses' mother hope, and finally it came true. The next promise was much brighter. Of course, it required much effort and patience. The leader is reciting verses from the Holy Quran. وَلِتَعْلَمَ أَنَّ وَعْدَ اللَّهِ حَقٌّ. This divine promise was the same promise, the great promise given by God, and it was realized after several years and changed the course of history. Another sample, another example, was that actually the reminder of the power of God in those who attacked the holy Mecca, and God through the holy prophet in order to encourage people to protect the holy Kaaba. Or in order to actually raise the spirits of the prophet, the leader is reciting verses from the Holy Quran. The God reminds the prophet of his blessings. And such examples are, we can find a lot of such examples in the Holy Quran. In the day when Islam emerged victorious in Iran and was able to shatter the stronghold of the United States in one of the greatest regions of the world, those who actually were aware of the facts, they came to the conclusion that if they use patience, if they remain patient, they will be able to witness more achievements ahead. Glorious realities in the Islamic Republic of Iran, which even their enemies are acknowledging them, all of those achievements materialized under divine blessings and the patience and resistance of the people and seeking help from God. Our people have always always been by the side of the oppressed people in difficult times. Our people stood by them. Today, this precious experience is in reach, close at hand, for the nations who are standing up to arrogant powers, and they have been able to push back corrupt governments and those who are allies of the United States. Resistance and patience and also reliance in God's promises. The leader is reciting verses from the Holy Quran. It will be able to pave the way of pride until reaching the peak of Islamic civilization, and it can pave that way. Today, in this important meeting, which has brought together scholars from different countries and Islamic faiths, I would like to mention to mention a few points which I deem necessary to mention concerning Islamic awakening. The first point I'd like to mention is that the first waves of Islamic awakening in this country, in this region's countries, come along with the beginning of the forces, actually, of arrogant powers. It happened at that time. Usually, these waves came on the back of efforts by Islamic scholars. The names of prominent leaders like Sayyid Jamaluddin and Muhammad Abduh and Mirza Shirazi and Ahund Khorasani and Mahmud al-Hassan and Muhammad Ali, Sheikh Fazlullah, Haja Nurullah, Ba'bul Adha Mududi, and dozens of other prominent figures who were aware from Iran, Egypt, India, Iraq. Actually, these have gone down in history. In the contemporary era also, the glorious name of the late Imam Khomeini,
Uh,
Actually, it is like a shining star in the Islamic Revolution. And here, hundreds of prominent scholars and thousands of and should not block the great popular movement. And even here, we need to draw on the experiences. Those who, over the many years, have pinned their hopes on America's actually promises, and they have been submitting to the U.S., they have not been able to help solve any of the problems of their nations, or they have not been able to remove any problems. They, by submitting to the U.S., they could not prevent the destruction of even one Palestinian home in a land which belongs to Palestinians. Politicians and elite who have been deceived, actually, or they have been threatened by arrogant powers, and they lose the great opportunity of Islamic awakening. Those should be fearful of this divine threat. The leader is reciting verses from the Holy Quran. جهنم يصلونها وبئس القرار. And the fourth point is that today, one of the most dangerous things threatening Islamic awakening is sowing division, sowing discord, and trying to change, to turn this awakening into ethnic divisions and bloodshed and all that. This is a plot. This plot has been orchestrated by the Western and Zionist circles using petrodollars and using actually mercenary politicians from East Asia to North Africa, especially the Arab region. They are following this conspiracy, and the money which could have been used to improve prosperity for humankind, they are using that money for terror, threatening bombings and bloodshed, shedding the blood of Muslim people, and also fomenting long-term grudges and spites. Those who see the power of Islam as an impediment to their evil objectives, they are seeking to sow the seeds of discord in the Islamic community. They see this as the easiest way to achieve their diabolical goals, and the differences, some differences which exist, they are natural differences in some religious issues. They are actually cashing in on those differences to promote sedition, corruption, and bloodshed. A prudent look to, if you look at the some local differences judiciously, you can see that the hands of the enemy are involved, and this the hand of the enemy is actually capitalizing on the superficiality in our countries and tries to fuel the fire. And political elite and politicians have shouldered a heavy responsibility in this regard. In Libya, Tunisia, Egypt, Syria, in each of these countries in one way, in Pakistan, Iraq, and Lebanon, all of them are in one way or another involved or about to get involved in such flames. And they need to be very careful to prevent that. It is very naive to think that these are all because of ethnic, actually. They have ethnic roots. They have religious roots only. And actually, if we take a look at those who are the mercenaries, who are dependent on the West, and they are trying to foment a discord between Shiites and Sunni, and they are actually using it as a safe haven for Zionists and the enemies of the resistant movement in Lebanon and Syria. This is while the warring parties in Syria actually are all, they are those who are against Zionism. Neither the Syrian government, nor the secular, movement. They are a Sunni movement, and those who are pulling the strings, who are behind the scenes, to have those who have launched this, these differences, they have been able to capitalize on the actually religious sentiments of the people and fuel the fire. If we look at it carefully, and those who are involved, we can see it clearly. This wave of propaganda campaigns is taking shape in Bahrain in another way. They are fueling deception and all that. In Bahrain, there are the majority of people, the oppressed people, who for some years, for long years, have been deprived of the right to vote and other basic rights of a nation, and they are just demanding their right. Because this majority is Shia and they are against the secular regime. Should we call it a division between Shia and Sunnis? European colonialists and those who are affiliated with the US and their allies, of course, they would like to make out that this is a Shia-Sunni division, Shia-Sunni division. But is this the reality? This is the, these are the points that religious scholars need to think about, and they need to feel responsible about these plots, and they need to get to know the objectives of the enemy in order to fuel ethnic fire and to sow the seeds of discord, to sow ethnic divisions and religious divisions. The fifth point is that movements, Islamic awakening movements, are moving on the right path because they have adopted a position regarding the Palestinian question. Since 60 years ago, no actually sorrow has been greater than that of usurping the lands of Palestinians for the Islamic community. The question of Palestine, we have been witnessing killing of people, terror, usurping their lands, and actually desecration of Islamic sanctities, resistance to this usurper enemy. All Islamic faiths agree on that, that they, we should resist to this usurper enemy, and all right any Islamic faith, any movement in Islamic countries, they feel, which feel, take it upon themselves to take this responsibility, and those actually somehow, if they forget this, the any movement which forgets this important responsibility, they should not be considered as loyal to Islam, or they should not be regarded as patriots and all that. This is a touchstone. Anybody who chants the slogan of freedom of the Holy Quds and the Palestinian lands and the Palestinian nation, anybody who doesn't accept it, or anybody who wants to sideline it, and anybody who takes its back, turned its back on the resistant movement, they are to blame. And this is a touchstone, and all Islamic nations should take that into consideration. Distinguished guests, brothers and sisters, never actually always pay attention to the enemy movements. If our divisions can be an opportunity for the enemy, Imam Ali said, Our experience in the Islamic Republic in this regard can also be a good lesson for all Islamic countries. With the victory of the Islamic Revolution in Iran, arrogant powers and the U.S., who had long been actually pulling the strings of Iranian dictators and had taken control of the destiny of the Iranian of Iran, and those who had ignored the power of the faith inside the country, those who had underestimated that faith, and those who were unaware of the power of Islam, suddenly they found out the reality. And those who were at the top, their intelligence services, their governments, and their nerve centers got into action to make up for their ignominious defeat. They hatched different kinds of plots and conspiracies. They have had different conspiracies over the past more than 30 years. Whatever has been able to foil their plots is two things: resistance, insistence actually on Islamic principles, and also the presence of the people on the scene. These two factors have always been the key to triumph. The first factor, having true faith in God and in divine promises, and the second, thanks to the sincere efforts by the people. A nation which is honest and sincere, and those who believe in the sincerity of their scholars, they will be present on the scene as ever. And anywhere that a nation has a resolve and is always on the scene, no power will be able to defeat it. This is a successful experience for all nations which with their experience have created the Islamic Awakening Movement. I ask God Almighty to help and offer its blessings to you all and all Islamic nations. May God bless you all.
That was Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, the leader of the Islamic Revolution, speaking right here live in Tehran at the Islamic Awakening, the Scholars in Islamic Awakening conference being held starting today here in Tehran. As I said, he pretty much spoke about five main points regarding the Islamic Awakening that is happening throughout the world. He said the first waves of Islamic Awakening came about in the region by the efforts of Islamic scholars, etc. He said clergy have always been the source of thoughts and have guided people in standing up to dangers through staying on the right path. His second point was the need for depicting long-term goals for the Islamic Awakening in Muslim countries. He said we must ensure this awakening reaches its peak and we must create a roadmap for this to be achieved. His third point was the bitter experiences of submitting and or obeying the West in lifestyles, etc. He said Muslim countries have for one century done this, but have had a bad experience because of this. The Ummah, he said, has gone backwards scientifically during that time, but that does not mean animosity towards the West, though he said that we are not enemies of any nation. We would simply like to stand up to moral degradation, etc., brought in by colonial powers. His fourth point was, what he said, that one of the most dangerous things threatening the Islamic Awakening is the sowing of discord, trying to turn this into divisions along ethnic lines, etc. He said that plot has been brought forth by Zionists and Western powers through petrodollars. His fifth and final point was the Islamic Awakening movements are moving on the right path because they have adopted the right stance towards the Palestinian issue. He said there is no greater issue for the Islamic community, and anyone who wants to sideline that responsibility cannot be seen as being loyal to the Islamic Awakening. At the end, he said, speaking to the crowd, he said that we must always pay attention to the enemy's moves. He says our experience here in the Islamic Republic can also be an experience for others to take lessons from. He said a country once submissive to the West suddenly became, through Islam, awoken and shocked the world and the enemies who tried to keep Iran submissive. He said the only thing that has helped Iran is resistance and the support and or efforts of the people due to their faith in God. Again, that was Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei speaking live here in Tehran at the Scholars and Islamic Awakening Conference, which has begun today itself. Let's just tell you a bit more about this conference itself. As I said, it is called the Scholars and Islamic Awakening Conference. Hundreds of foreign and Iranian scholars are taking part in this two-day gathering, which, as I said, has begun today itself. It will highlight popular uprisings in the region, the occupation of Palestine, and resistance against Israel. Those topics, as I said, will be highlighted during this event. The crisis in Syria, of course, as Ayatollah Khamenei himself also mentioned, will also be at the heart of the talks. And according to the Secretary General of the World Assembly of Islamic Awakening, Ali Akbar Velayati, this is the most important conference so far held on Islamic Awakening. Now, on that issue of Syria itself, Ayatollah Khamenei had said that they have been able to fuel the fire of sectarianism in Syria by concentrating on religious differences for people in Syria, minute differences, according to him. He also spoke about Bahrain, saying that people in Bahrain have been asking for their rights for many years. But he said, because the majority is Shia and they are against a secular monarchy, he said that people around the world are trying to, the West, that is trying to portray this as a Shia-Sunni division. And he asked, is that the reality, though? And he said religious scholars need to think about those questions and to prevent further discord from occurring between Muslims around the world. Again, you can see there Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei greeting the crowds, large numbers of people, obviously, crowding around him, trying to greet Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei right after his speech. This on the first day of the Scholars and Islamic Awakening Conference being held right here in the Iranian capital, Tehran. As the Secretary General of this conference has said, this is the most important conference so far held on the Islamic Awakening. Let's just remind you a few things about what Ayatollah Khamenei said during that speech of his. He said the Islamic Awakening tops the list of international issues that is currently facing the Islamic world. He said public opinion is being informed of the true nature of the hegemonic powers. He says people have been able to push back against corrupt governments, especially those allied with the United States. Again, some of the points that he had made during his speech were that opponents have tried to divide Islamic scholars but have failed. He said scholars must, though, stay aloof to the dangers to keep this unity alive. He said opponents have been trying to deviate scholars through money, power, etc. He says in establishing a successful Islamic awakening and reaching its full potential, he said, will reject being reactionary, will establish justice, prosperity, will promote human ethics, and will help the oppressed of the world, all the oppressed of the world. He said all aspects of society, such as the arts, sciences, etc., are needed to create such a civilization based on the rules of God. He said that we can break the monopoly on some of these currently enjoyed by hegemonic power, speaking specifically there about the sciences, of course. He said that, I just want to remind people again that he said that Iran or the Islamic Awakening does not mean animosity towards the West or any nation. He said that we are not enemies of any nation, but we would simply like to stand up to moral degradation, etc., brought in by the colonial powers. He said we need to learn from our experiences. Those who have obeyed the West have not been able to solve their nation's problems. They have not been able to prevent the destruction of even one Palestinian home. Again, speaking about the conspiracy brought in to try to sow discord amongst Muslims, he said this conspiracy is being followed by spending money not to advance humanity, but to shed Muslim blood and to foment long-term grudges amongst Muslim peoples. He said they see this as the easiest way, the enemies that is, to achieve their goals in the region and the world. And he said it is naive, in fact, to think that these divisions have only ethnic and religious roots. He said they've been able to fuel the fire by concentrating on minute religious differences forces in places like Syria, of course. And again, speaking about Bahrain, he said, though they try to call it a Shia-Sunni division, this is in fact just a Shia majority standing up against a secular monarchy. So that is not in fact a Shia-Sunni division at all. It is simply people standing up for their rights, regardless of them being Shia or Sunni. Again, speaking about the Palestinian issue and its relation to the Islamic awakening, he said it is the central issue, essentially, of the Islamic awakening. He said there is no greater issue for the Islamic community. And he said those who forget this responsibility cannot be considered to be loyal to the Islamic cause. He said anyone who wants to sideline this issue is to be blamed for the continuing Palestinian suffering. Of course, at the end, in concluding his remarks, he said that Muslim nations must always pay attention to the enemy's moves. He spoke about the experience of the Islamic Republic of Iran itself and said that that can be a lesson to people around this region to take lessons from. He said a country once submissive to the West suddenly became, through Islam, awoken and shocked the world and enemies who tried to keep Iran submissive. He said the only thing that has helped Iran is resistance.